Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Welcome in, Buck fans. Another night of Buccaneer conversation. Taking your phone calls. Talking about, of course, last week's victory. And hopefully going 2-0 as we take on our hated rival Carolina Panthers on Monday night. You probably heard Dave Moore sit down with Cadillac Williams on Tuesday night. That was last night, of course. We premiered the Gerald McCoy Show. That'll be every Tuesday night. Now, tomorrow night, we'll skip ahead for a second. Tomorrow night is the Josh Freeman Show every single Thursday night. And then again, Total Access. So basically, you have Total Access Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which means we rotate players in. And now, coming in to play corner and sit next to me for another year. Good to see you, man. How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I am good.
It's nice to be back with you.
You know,
even for a day.
You know, you're my Yoda to sports talk. You know, you were like my foot in the door to do, Buccaneer Radio years ago. Yeah,
I was. I don't know if how many of our listeners were around back then.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people remember the Rondi Barber Show. And
then, of course.
And then a little later on in life, you decided, hey, you know, my kids are getting older. Tuesday night is a very important night to me. You know, it's like one of the few nights you have off.
It is the only night,
yeah.
Really.
But we did corral you for Wednesday night. I got to tell you, I was sitting in the booth listening to Gene and Dave making some notes. You know, I'm getting ready to come in and do my halftime highlights and talking to Jerry down the line. What are we going to use? And all of a sudden, I peeked down. And this is what happens right here.
Quick snap and a low throw. Picked off Barber. Barber near sideline to the 50, to the 40. Barber to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Knocked out of bounds at the 5-yard line. And the Bucs are in business with 26 seconds to go.
And
it was my job to give you something to talk about.
I had a new highlight. Absolutely. So congratulations on that pick. You know, we needed that. We're down 14-3. They had been running the ball successfully. It looks like. You know, Jake Delhomme had killed us in 2-minute drills for quite a long time. It looked like he was going to do it again. So, describe the play.
I got lucky actually. It wasn't my guy that he was trying to throw the ball to. We called a pressure. You know, Raheem's. You know, in his evolution of this defense, we're not playing so much. Zone defenses. So many don't zone defenses, and especially in this 2-minute, we were trying to play aggressive. We were playing. A too high safety with man underneath, and somebody forgot to cover that tight end. But luckily, Styles got some pressure off the end and forced him to make a bad throw trying to get it to that tight end, and I just happened to turn back, you know, and get a chance. And I just ran through it and tried to get to the end zone. To be honest with you, I wasn't thinking that I could get there. I was so tired. In a 2-minute drill, your legs go so quickly. And about the 20-yard line, I was completely out of gas. So, but it was a great play to turn the game around for us. Obviously, we had given up some opportunities on offense, and you know hadn't given up two big plays on defense. And it was needed. You know, sometimes you just need a spark, and that last Sunday, that was it.
So, how many texts is I know Derek Brooks was talking on his talk show a little earlier this afternoon that. He let you know about getting dragged down from behind?
He let me know twice. he hit me on Sunday and then again on Monday. I was like, didn't we already go over this, buddy?
It was the fullback that caught you, by the way.
Yeah, he was flying.
And he was definitely digging.
I think the fullback's 24 years old.
So, yeah, you know, I see you get up and run over the bench. God, what is that? How many is that for you, by the way?
Interceptions is 38.
I want to say, yeah.
Yeah, 38.
You're approaching 40.
I got a couple more I need to get, I think.
You know, you have more picks than years in life, dude. That's pretty good.
I could pat myself on the back for that. Raheem was getting ready to fire me for a missed op for not scoring, but, you know, because he's asking for touchdowns on defense this year, so he wasn't too happy that I didn't get in the end zone. I think he was excited that it turned the game around, but... Yeah, afterwards he was giving me a little bit of crap. He actually called my brother and asked him if he saw me get hawked down. And my response was, "This is the reason why you retired, buddy. You're 35. We're 35 years old."
Nice. Very nice. Well, you know, in the preseason we saw Barrett. You know, Barrett had to go 98 yards.
Yeah.
And but he looked like someone threw some quicksand in his cleats at about the 20, 40 yard line and stuff. But, you know, a lot of that is training camp, though, because, you know, I talked to – I was in the locker room today, and I was talking to some of the guys, And I talked to Gerald last night. That's the most, obviously, it's the most amount of snaps Gerald's ever played because it was his first NFL game.
Yep.
And I asked him about his legs, and he felt real good. But some other guys were saying, you know, August can take its toll, and you really feel it. Do you really just pretty much feel that the first game? Is that how that works?
August, September, especially down here, you know, your adrenaline's flowing a little bit. So the highs and lows are a little bit more pronounced, you know, especially early in the season. And, you know, when you're in a two-minute drill specifically, it's hard to recover, you know, because the tempo is so high. You know, they're trying to get as many plays off. You're trying to get yourself ready to, you know, defend your goal line there, and they're trying to hurry up and get there. So, you're spending a little bit more energy. It was a hot day. You know, the first half when the clouds came out in the second half, it was a whole lot nicer. But earlier in that game, it was pretty warm.
And, stagnant heat.
Yeah, and I think everybody was feeling the effects of that. Cleveland certainly felt it at the end of the game, because if you look at the film, you know, they're moving about half the speed that we are. It was really a winning edge for us on Sunday.
It really was. It was noticeable. A lot of people made comments on that. I was really surprised. I saw Jake DeLhomme. They went no huddle on their first series.
Yeah. Well, they really went no huddle the whole game. And I think they would really – it wasn't a no huddle, a hurry-up no huddle, like Indianapolis likes to run and try to get you with substitutions. It was, I think, more just to try to cause some confusion with us. And their offense is kind of like that. They got a lot of gimmicks, little tricks. You know, they're one of the wildcat teams in the NFL, which we pretty much completely shut down on Sunday. But it was – I think it was just a part of their plan to get us off balance and see if we were up to task with our defenses and our checks. And, you know, for the most part, we were.
It was I talked to Tlaib today in the locker room. He's, you know, big smile on his face. You know he can't wait to get out there. It had the,
it's a big week for him.
Yeah, but his understudy, if you will, the nickel corner, E.J. Biggers, I remember you talking about him at the beginning, about middle of the camp, mid-August, you started to speak out in the media about keeping an eye on this guy, and he did not disappoint.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a surprise for us that E.J. Played so well on Sunday. And like I told you, you know, back in middle August, you know, he had a great offseason. You know, he deserved his opportunity, and we knew he was ready for it when he got it. He made a big interception for us at the end of the game, but his overall play was really, really good as well. You know, it's nice to have the kind of talent that we have at my position right now. Obviously, the rookie Myron will eventually turn into something. He has got as many skills as Keeb did when he first got here. He's just got to, you know, figure him out. But
physically, he's intimidating.
He's very intimidating.
But already, wait till he grows into his body a little more too.
Exactly. But for now, we still got Emac and obviously EJ playing very well for us, and it can only help us to have that kind of depth in the secondary.
It's Buccaneers Total Access. Let me give out some numbers. Pinellas 727-461-4620, Hillsboro 813-990-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. I actually saw Emac in the locker as well. He was kind of sitting there, and I walked up to him and I said, "How about some friendly fire?" And asked him about the shot he took from Sean Jones early in the game. Did you hear that? I bet you heard that.
Well, everybody, you're probably at the top of the stands. You heard that. I was telling Emac and Sean, actually, I was telling them both. That was the hardest hit I think I've ever seen. And unfortunately, it was on one of our players. You see it on film, and it is. You think Emac is dead, to be honest with you. It's such a hard hit. His helmet flies, you know, it doesn't fly the direction of the hit. It flies opposite the hit. That's how you know you got hit hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sean was he's brought in here to bring a physical presence, man. And one of the best things about that being on film is that everybody we play has to sit there and watch that hit. And he had another one on a tight end a little bit later in a game. The tight end actually ended up, you know, crawling to the sideline, get his wind back. But that kind of physical presence shows up on film, man. And I you got to appreciate when you have guys like that on the back end that, you know, not unwilling, you know, to throw their body around and make this a physical game. We got to be the most physical team in the league. Raheem talks about it all the time. Jimmy Lake preaches it, and he is. Right now, definitely our enforcer.
If I'm a wide receiver and I'm watching film on the Bucs early on and I'm worried about going over the middle already.
Oh, yeah.
That's your territory. I've always said that, and you've said it all the time. You know, X's and O's, that happens. But the intimidation factor in the in the backfield with four guys roaming around headhunting, not just trying to pick a ball off, but headhunting as well. And I mean that in the way that, you know, as far as the rules go, you know, leading with your shoulder, things like that. But, yeah, it was like old school buck ball, baby. That was fun to see.
One of the things that John used to say when he was here is, or they used to talk about when John was here, was that intimidation is a physical act, man. And you got to be willing to be physical. And we got that in our secondary, man. It definitely helps. It definitely helps putting that on film. Obviously, you know, you like to be cover guys, and we all like to, you know, pick balls off and make game changing plays. But, you know, 95% of the time, this game's about hitting, and you gotta have the guys with that ability and that you know, enormous amount of courage to do it. and we have that.
Hey, we'll come back and talk more about that hitting, including the Andrew Economos laying out Josh Cribbs, caused a great fumble. They did. Cleveland got the ball back, and also Barrett Rood, textbook tackle in a hole, you know, laying the shoulder, literally de-cleating the guy, lifting him right off the ground, and Quincy's there to scoop it up. That physical brand of buck ball, I think, is the thing I'm most excited about. And I think I knew why you stuck around, was because you knew, you said this, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said, you know, Raheem Morris really wants to bring the defensive identity of this football back in this town. And when you talk buckball in this town, you talk defense.
Yep, absolutely. It's what we're made of, you know. It's how we've always won.
All right, guys, get on those phones and talk to number 20, Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. And toll-free, 1-888-546-4620. Also, 1-800-596-BUCKS. I'm Scott. That's Rondé Barber. And we're coming back with more of Buccaneers Total Access right here on the flagship stations for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, US 103.5 and 620 WDAE, the sports animal, both parts of the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, Buccaneer fans, welcome back in. It is Wednesday night, Total Access. Remember, Total Access happens Monday, Wednesday, Friday, different players. And we sandwich right around that, of course. Tuesday night is the Gerald McCoy Show. We premiered that last night. And tomorrow night, the premiere of the Josh Freeman Show.
See, the two big stars get their show. The two young stars get their shows on Tuesday and Thursday, right? That's how it works now.
Well, you know, that you got to take that up with management. Dude.
No. I was all for it. I suggested Gerald McCoy. I like him.
He was awesome last night. He was great.
He is a very bright guy. Definitely has some football smarts. He's entertaining. He's a great guy. He's a nice guy. So it'll be good for the greater Tampa Bay area to get a feel for this up and coming star of ours. And we obviously, everybody wants to hear from the quarterback. So Josh needs this show on Thursday.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about number 93. You know, and that entire defensive line. You know, part of what we were worried about last year, and part of what, you know, obviously we face a Cleveland Brown power running team. We'll get to the Carolina power running game. We'll get to the Steelers power running game. obviously, we needed to make some adjustments in stopping the run. So give us your take on all that.
Oh, well, you know, I remember in the offseason or right around the draft time when we knew we were taking one of those tackles, whichever one fell to us, basically. I think we were happy to have either, but – you know, as it turned out, I mean, Gerald couldn't have been a better fit for us. I mean, I don't know how Ndamukong's playing up in Detroit, and I know he's a great player, but couldn't be more excited with Gerald McCoy. And he showed it in week one, that's for sure. You know, we put him in some different positions that he just practiced this week. He was playing a heavy end for us, which he had never done during the preseason. But he showed he could do it. You know, Raheem put his 3-4 alignment out there with Quincy out on the field, rushing the passer, and those four guys, I think it was Quincy, Stiles, Gerald. I can't remember who the other tackle was.
It was either Brian Price or Roy Miller.
It was Tim. Tim Crowder was the other 3-4 rush guy out there, and they absolutely harassed Cleveland's offense in the second half. It was a big part of us winning that football game, and all of them deserved game balls on Sunday. So. You know, that's what we needed in the offseason. We addressed it. We addressed it in the first round. We addressed it in the second round with Brian Price. And you couldn't be more happier with you know, the kind of effort they're going to put in for us. And like I said, they both got their opportunity on Sunday, and they played out. I mean, Gerald's going to be a really good player in this league, man. He'll be an eventual super. One of those guys can't miss superstars because of his talent, because of his work ethic. You know, you can tell he wants to be great, and he's working his way towards it.
Well, let me tell you about a football team with some young players. You know, both picks. I mean, your pick really came from Styles G. White hitting them low.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And, you know, he started the sidearm and sling it, and that's when you jumped that route and left your receiver and pick. And then if you look at EJ's pick, it was Brian Price getting into Jake's face basically with a big paw.
Yep.
And he throws his big ass, excuse me, big rainbow up. And and next thing
it was a big ass rainbow. Don't worry.
Sometimes I got to remember which show I'm doing.
Exactly.
Here. But you know, the pass pressure, we didn't get any sacks. We didn't get any sacks.
Yeah.
But
the pressure was definitely there.
Exactly.
The pressure was definitely there. I don't know how many hits they targeted us for on Sunday, but the pressure was definitely there. There was a reason he didn't make a lot of plays down the field against us on Sunday. It's because the pressure was so good. You know, EJ's pick's a perfect example. I mean, that ball ended up, you know, probably 10 yards short of where he wanted it to go. And that essentially, you know, finished off the game for us on defense. It was because of that pressure up front. I'm not saying it wasn't there last year, because at times it was. But, you know, if there was one emphasis going into this offseason, this past offseason, it was to find a way and find the players to make us better up front. And I think we got them. I think we have the right guys in our room right now. So this team going forward, you know, week two and on into the future, it's going to be really, really good.
We'll get to Wade and Dale in that order. You got room behind those guys. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS, which kind of leads into, did you coin the phrase Tampa 2.1? Was that your phrase?
That was definitely me.
Okay, give us the Reader's Digest version of what you mean.
Actually, it's like Tampa 2.4 at this point. You know, 2.1 showed its head last year, and you know, we've had a couple of system upgrades since then.
Nice.
But I mean, it's to put it frankly, you know, we a lot of commentators and people around the business know that we've gone back to basically our base system, 4-3 system, not Jim Bates' system, which was a 4-3, but a different system, and still call it Tampa 2 and want to say we're playing a lot of cover 2. I can honestly say I think we played one snap of cover 2 on Sunday, one, and that was at the end of the half after my interception, just to keep the ball in front of us and make a tackle.
Yeah, it was like almost a prevent defense.
Yeah, so yeah. Basically, the Tampa 2.1 is just it's the same concepts and it's the same baseball for us, but we're doing a whole lot of different things. And you know, that comes from Quincy being able to be a rush end for us, keep all three of our linebackers on the field, take one of our D linemen off, and you can just disguise a lot of looks. You can give teams some adjustments that they have to make. You throw that in with this is why I say it's like more like Tampa 2.4, is because, you know, some of the blitzes, some of the 45 blitzes, you know, the five defensive back on the field blitzes that Raheem has created in the past year and a half are completely out of this world. And, you know, we didn't show all of them. We have more that are going to be there, you know, in the coming weeks. But it's nothing like what we used to do. We had four or five defenses in our nickel packages when Monty was here, and I'd say we have about 20 right now with Raheem, and we won't use them all every week, but we have them and we're all prepared to run them. So the evolution of this defense is right now, and it's really exciting to play in it.
Well, let me tell you, I saw two different things happen. Well, of course, you were talking about your blitzes there, and you were a little bit eager on one of them in the first half.
Hey, I was looking at the clock.
Okay.
The clock hit zero, and I went. And I told the ref, he's like, he snapped it on zero. I was like, no, he didn't, because if he snapped it on zero, I would have been onside. And Jake was clapping his hands, you know, like, come on, come on, come on, snap the ball. I've never been offside in my life. If I was, it was somebody else's fault.
So. All right. And you know, but no, that was great to see. You know, that's one of the blitzes you're talking about. But yeah. I also saw you stuff a run from the other side.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a run blitz, but you were definitely headed towards the backfield and you met the back there. I think it was you and Barrett or someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, so some of the blitzes, you know, because you've got quite a few sacks, actually, a lot of sacks for a cornerback, you know, in as far as a record-setting amount, was that part of the enticement to play football again this year?
Oh, yeah, of course. And I go in every year wanting to achieve a certain number of goals.
And a lot of those I didn't touch last year. Numbers spoke for that. But, to have the ability to play in this defense and, you know, having Raheem want me to play in this defense, you know, knowing that some of the things that I've done over my career are unique to me, and him giving me the opportunity to continue to expand on that was a huge reason for me wanting to play again. It's part of my evaluation to come back, and I cannot say that I'm not enjoying everything that's going on, even with the youth movement around One Buck. I seem to fit in fine. You know, those guys give me a lot of respect. I give them a lot of respect. They're making me feel young, and I'm enjoying playing football now as much as I have in the past 5 or 6 years, man. And it's been a pleasure. I definitely enjoy going to work still.
That's awesome. I mean, as a Bucs fan, as your friend, that's awesome. But as a Bucs fan, that's what we love to hear, because obviously people are chanting "Rude." Mm-hmm. We got to kind of find a way to get your name yelled simultaneously in that stadium. Ronde or something like that. You know?
I got kind of a hard name to pronounce in a chant. I'm just happy I'm still in the stadium, buddy. Yeah, I'm still one of the cogs. I'm on the outside of the stadium. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, like I said, and we haven't even had a chance to talk about the young athletes on offense that you get to practice against, Will, but I want to go to these phone callers. Dale, right. Stand by. We're coming to you. First up is Wade. You're on Buccaneers Total Access with Ronde Barber. Wade, how you doing, bro?
Good, Ledge. How's it going, man?
Excellent. We won that first game, baby. That was a big one.
I was one of the ones up there in 106-degree heat, but I was there.
Exactly. You're a soldier, buddy. I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate you being there.
I hear you. Listen, Ledge, I really wanted to give a shout-out to Ronde and tell him thank you for hooking me up and supporting the upcoming golf tournament this weekend for the community service of the Pasadena Community Church. Ronde, yeah. I really appreciate your help on that.
No worries. Those are easy for me to throw something for you guys. Not at all. No problem
well,
at all.
As being a fellow Wahoo, I needed to be the one big prize out there. But speaking of the Wahoos, I wanted to ask you how you thought about the new coach and new football program at Virginia.
Oh, I tell you what, I didn't get to watch the game. Did you get to watch the game?
Yeah, I was in Gainesville Saturday, but I came back and stood up and was probably one of the only few here in Pinellas County watching that game. But I stood up and watched them. And I got to say, Ronde, it's a new attitude up there. I think they're going to have a good program under London.
I like it. I like it. That's kind of like us. You know, our attitude's changed this year. I didn't get a chance to watch the Virginia game. I followed it for the first half online. We were in a hotel, and the hotel didn't have Fox Sports or whatever station that was on. So I followed online for a little bit, but then I fell asleep, and it was 7-7, and that's a whole lot better than it was last time we saw USC. Because the last time Virginia played USC was the first week of the season, college season. We had that week off. I went up there and got my jersey retired in Virginia, and I think that was the only highlight, is me getting my jersey retired at halftime, because the score was like 60-3. So
it wasn't quite that bad, Ronde, but I was there with you, brother. I tell you, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good. So I was telling Kyle Moore, I was like, hey, man, 17-14 loss, that's a huge improvement for us now. Going coast to coast, we'll take that any day.
Hey, I know. And Ledge, I had lunch with him Friday. He'll tell you, I have my UVA garb on, so I'm still
good. Yeah, you were color coordinated, man, which is rare for you. It's rare.
I love it.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It was all good. All right, Wade, good talking to you, brother.
Again, thanks for everything, Ronde. And
yep.
Go Bucks, bud.
Yep, cheers, buddy.
You got it. Wade's referring to is Ronde's taking care of some autographs on some footballs that we are going to make sure that it helped raise his money for that charity he mentioned. Dale, you're up on Total Access. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing awesome, man. Thrilled about the win, and thanks for taking my call. Ronde, I just want to tell you just how amazing you are, just not only your age in coming back out there with all those young guys, but everybody keeps trying to pin you down to like a system cornerback, and the system keeps changing, and it's like you just keep improving with age, and I'm just thrilled to see it. And want to know how you do it. How do you keep reinventing yourself?
I don't know if I'm improving, but I'm definitely getting the job done.
He knows what savvy means.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. I probably figured out savvy about 8 years ago, man. I stopped being a quick, fast guy when I was about 28. So I figured out how to play this game a long time ago. But there's no secret. You know, you just got to find your enthusiasm for it. And I love football. I always will. Even when I'm done playing, I'll love football. But right now, I tell Ledge this every time we talk. When I don't feel like getting up and going to work, and I don't feel like I don't have the exuberance to go to practice, then I know I'll be done with football. But right now, I still have it. You know, I love the excitement that we have on defense. You know, I love a lot of guys on our offense too, but I love the things that we're doing on defense. I love how I fit into it. So it's easy for me to do my job. It's not rocket science, believe me, and it's not a magic pill or magic potion or anything outstanding. It's just a want to do it, and I'm still having fun.
Hey man, I just think it's great, and I hope you keep shutting them up.
Thanks, man. I'll try.
That's a good way to put it.
I'll try.
Excellent way to put it. Good call for Dale there. Pinellas 727-461-4620. Hillsboro, it's 813-990-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Real quick before we go to break, you know, when Mike Williams was drafted, I heard, you know, I hadn't watched any Syracuse games. Some people had. A couple of people at the radio station here, one of the flagships, actually, you know, was a big draft guy, and he was talking about him. And then when Mark Dominic was smiling, and then I finally saw him in OTA, but, you know, guys running in short pants, and
yeah.
And when they don't have their pads on, I'm not impressed.
Yeah. How can you be, right?
Yeah, but you started to cover him, and I think that's always one of the coolest things to ask a cornerback is to talk about one of his own players, because you always talk about the guys you're going to be facing.
Yeah.
What was your experience with Mike Williams going through August and stuff? When did you start to really nod and go, wow, this kid's got it?
Right away. You know, his maturity level, you know, running routes is, you know, speaks for itself. I mean, you watch the film, you're like, wow, how does he know how to run these routes like this?
He ran a comebacker the other day.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, he has knowledge of, you know, the ins and outs of route running already. You know, not a lot of young guys do. You know, another guy that was like that was Sammy last year. Sammy had a feel for how to get open and run routes, and we saw that a lot of his third down catches last year. But Mike, you know, has just the physical tools. You know, he's bigger. You know, he has some explosion. He's definitely strong for a young wideout, and his ability to find ways to get open in his stems and his routes and everything else it's special for a rookie to have that. You know, not a lot of guys can say they have that, and it's the reason why he's starting at X-Force, which is the premier position on our receiving corps. You know, he gets all the hots, he gets all the all the back shoulder throws, he gets all the when you got one-on-one coverage, that's the guy you're looking for. And he proved it in the preseason that he's the real deal, and that's what we got to expect at him, you know, for the remainder of this season.
Did you see his catch? Were you watching that, or were you doing something else on the bench when he made that freakish catch?
I was getting oxygen.
Because that was only two plays later, right?
Yeah, it was like two. I think it was the next play, wasn't it?
I think there was an incompletion or a short running play. I'm trying to think there was another. My notes aren't here in front of me.
I'm pretty sure it was the next play. It was the next snap.
Are you making a joke?
No, I wasn't getting oxygen, but I was tired. I was sitting on the sideline. I did see it. I actually thought it was Jervicious-ish. I thought he tipped it to himself like he did against Philly in 2003, but he kind of deflected it out of the DB's hand because Sheldon Brown was getting ready to intercept that ball. Josh was kind of scrambling through there, and he kind of made a sidearm kind of motion throw into the end zone, and it was going right at Sheldon Brown, and Mike kind of stuck his hand in there and distracted his catch and tipped it up, and you know, he made a heck of a grab and getting his feet down in the end zone. That was just a special play. It just shows what kind of player he is. He just has that kind of intensity. He has that kind of skill to be able to do that. Not a lot of guys have that kind of concentration on a football when it's floating up in the air.
That's all pro cornerback Ronnie Barber. This is Buccaneers Total Access for a Wednesday night. We're going to come back and talk to John and Kerry in that order. Stand by, guys. We're coming to you. You guys can get in behind them. Got a couple open lines, 727-461-4620, Hillsboro 813-990-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Coming back with the second half of Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're
listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Total Access. Our guest tonight, number 20, Rondé Barber, taking your phone calls, 727-461-4620. That's Pinellas, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, and toll-free at 1-800-596-BUCKS. Ready to go back to the phones?
Sure, man.
All right, Kerry, stand by. You're on deck, and we're talking with John. John, you're on John. With Rondé.
Hey, this is John. I just had a quick question. I was blacked out, so I couldn't watch the game, and while working, I was listening to it, and I heard that there was a play where Rondé had someone dead to rights and missed the tackle. And I was wondering what happened with that particular play. Did you not have your feet in front of you, or what happened?
Yeah, there was one tackle that I missed. It was on I can't remember the guy's name. It was 83. It was wide out. And it was
Evans?
A bubble. It was a bubble screen.
It was a quick pass.
Yeah, it was a bubble screen, and I was playing inside, and I had all that grass to the sideline. I thought he was going to turn out and keep going up the sideline, but he turned in. So I kind of just like two planes passing in the night. I kind of just went right past him, barely got a hand on him. So I was anticipating him doing one thing, and he did another. If I would have came to balance, I would have made the tackle. But I was trying to run through his face and.
I love you to death, Rondé, but do you guys play that to where you just try to turn them inside and have someone else make the play?
You want to turn them back. I mean, ideally, you want to turn them back to
help.
Where all your help is coming
Help's
from.
Coming,
so,
that's right.
Technically, if I missed on the right side, I missed on the outside, so he turned it back into the pursuing defense. But, I did have him dead to rights. If I would have just taken one step to come to balance, I would have ran right through him anyways. I was just, I didn't think he saw me coming, but he apparently did.
Yeah, I want to get to these phone calls, but the coach said, because everybody thought there was kind of adjustments or a pep talk, and he said, just go out there and play in the second half the way we practiced. And it really was just cleaning up a couple of those.
Yeah, we didn't make any adjustments.
Gap responsibility, more or less, and just a couple of cleaner, couple cleaner tackles. Everybody, it's kind of like Sean Jones missed a couple, but had a couple monster hits.
Mm-hmm.
Tenard had a couple of plays he'd wish he could have back, but then he also had some great plays. So it was like one of those games. It looked like the first game of the season. It really did.
Yeah. Even though you play this, we play a little bit in the preseason. You play those four preseason games. It's not until you get into the, in the heat of real competition where everything matters, where you can really start to feel it, especially for younger guys that we had out there. We had a bunch of young guys playing on Sunday. And for the most part, I think we did well, especially in the second half of that game. But, we need to start faster. There's no doubt about it, whether it's our physical play or whether it's our tackling or whether it's our being able to move the ball and control the ball on offense. We have to get off to a faster start and not put ourselves in such a hard position to win a football game. But, I do like – the way that we responded. Raheem went in at halftime, you mentioned it, and we didn't make any adjustments. There was nothing that we did and said, we need to do this, we need to call this. He said, a couple guys, make a couple plays, make the adjustments that we practiced all week with the defenses that we're running, and we'll be fine. And that's exactly what we did. And I think they had 5 3-and-outs in the second half to start the second half.
And two turnovers.
And two turnovers.
Only four first downs in the second half.
Yeah, and that's that in itself defines our win, just those stats in the second half.
All right, we're going back to the phones. Jacob, Kara, and Tim, stand by. We're going to get to you. It's Kerry. You're on with Rondé Barber on Total Access. Kerry, hi.
Hello. Rondé, you are the absolute most incredible athlete I've ever had the pleasure of watching.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I don't know if it's true, but I appreciate it.
Well, my voice is all crackly because I was one of the ones screaming like bloody murder in that heat. I do have a question, but I have to kind of comment because I was listening in on John's call, and my assumption is if he was at work, he wasn't playing in an NFL game.
Yeah.
And if you've never played football at football speed, it's really easy to take one play, and watching that defense on Sunday, John, it was exciting. It felt like the old days.
Oh,
it really, really did.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for that, because it's just going to be a great season, no matter what.
I hope so, too.
And it kind of leads up to my question. Okay. You know, I've been a sports fan. My dad coached football. I played in college, and actually you took my number.
nice.
Because I'm way older than you are. But that stadium was electric. I felt like it was on fire. Like, I would never know, unless I looked around, that it wasn't sold out. Like, what are the – you as a player, how does it affect you? You know?
You know what? You notice the empty seats, but I was telling a bunch of our reporters after the game that, you know, when we started to turn it around in the second half, I felt the same as you did. You felt the energy. You felt the, you know, all the excitement come back into the fans. And, Mike Williams' touchdown at the end of the half obviously was the start of it. But, just the way that we played, getting off the field on defense, being able to move the ball, and some of the big plays that we had on offense, you know, the 20,000 or so fans that weren't there really kind of went unnoticed. I agree with you, Derry. It was definitely an atmosphere coming back that we had missed some. And unfortunately, they weren't there. But fortunately, there were still a whole bunch of Bucks fans there, and they were cheering their butts off. And that's what you like to hear. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Obviously, we know we're trying to rebuild this thing and get the fans' trust back, as Mark and Raheem like to say. But we put a good product out there. I'm confident people will show up.
It was some of the articles said 41 sounded like 67,000. Yeah. It really did, and that's not an exaggeration.
Yep.
Anybody was at that game. Maybe it was the skies opening up and the rain pouring down, and you know they're backed up looking at a third and 13 from their own five.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, this is like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it definitely felt that way, and it was good. It's good feeling, you know. Nobody likes to see empty seats, but I love to hear cheering fans, man, in supporting their home team.
It was good stuff. All right, back to the phones. We will talk to Kara. You're on with Rondé Barber. Good evening, Kara.
Hey, Rondé. It's Kara. I just wanted to say you are, like, the nicest Buck I think that we've had in a long time. And I
Thanks.
Know we all look forward to your post-game interviews after.
I tell you what, before you go on, I think I'm the only one that they, like, stand around my locker, because I kind of got a routine. I go take a shower. I get dressed before I talk to them, because I don't want the cameras with my shirt off or anything. You know, after I got married, I kind of stopped doing things. I do things differently, Ledge. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You never know what Telemundo reporter is going to be in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they sit there and wait for me to talk while I'm getting dressed. And I'm like, this is odd. But anyways, go ahead and finish your question.
Actually, I have two questions. One is, I wanted to know what it felt like when you see people walking around wearing their barber jerseys and people screaming your name and asking for autographs. Number two was, what do you guys have prepared for the Steelers game, since Roethlisberger's not going to be playing?
Well, that's a week ahead, or a week and a half ahead. But we know our schedule is 3 weeks strong, because the first quarter of the season is only 3 weeks. Our fourth week is our bye week, which really stinks. But we know what the Steelers are going to bring in here, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of pontification on that next week, Ledge. Mm-hmm.
The Panthers in the sights, and that's it.
With Dennis Dixon and our boy Mike Tomlin coming back to town, I could talk about that all night, so I won't. But I do love, to answer your other question, I do love seeing my jersey in the stands. There's nothing better. I mean, obviously football is a form of entertainment. It's one of the greatest forms of entertainment in America, and when you're part of it and you feel love and appreciation from people that are watching it and paying to watch it and paying for your jersey and going to the game with it, that's a special feeling, man. It's an unbeatable experience for an athlete. And I love it. It's part of what makes this game great for you guys, and it's also part of what makes it great for us.
That's a good question. Very good question. Excellent answer. That's why we call this show Total Access. Don't be afraid to ask whatever you feel. I mean, you get a different side of the player on this show. That's what we're hoping to get you. Tim, stand by. Tom, stand by. Jacob, you're on with Rondé Barber on Total Access. Go ahead.
Hey, Rondé. I just wanted to say that I love watching you play, and I love just the way you play corner. And I want to know what goes through your mind when you know it's a pass and it's, like, coming towards you, and, like, when you went for that interception this weekend and you That was awesome.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind when
when you see
it? Really fast?
Yeah, it happens so fast, and all about the only thing you can really think of is secure it. You know, secure the catch. You know, because over my 14 years, man, I probably have, maybe 20 miss-ops, on interceptions.
Balls that means a ball hit you in the hands.
Hit to the hands or hit me somewhere where I could have caught it. It's the one thing you don't want in our room, because when you come in on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday this week, you're always reminded of your miss-ops. So you just think, secure it, create the turnover, and then make a play with it. You know, some are easier than others. That one was relatively routine, even though it kind of hit me low in the stomach, because it was a fluttering ball, because it was wobbling out after Styles was sacking Jake. But you just want to grab it, man. And after that, it's all instincts. Run for your life, really, because there's a lot of big people trying to hit you.
Did you peek up on the Jumbotron? Because sometimes you look up on the Jumbotron to see who's running behind you.
I did. At first, I didn't know, honestly, there were that many guys right around me. And when I looked up, I saw
three
guys hawking me down. And I tried to hit an extra gear, but my extra gear left me.
The clutch left just the clutch slipped on that one.
My extra gear left me about 5 years ago. You noticed all my other touchdowns. If you go back and look at them, all my touchdowns for the past couple of years have been pretty routine.
Effortless.
You know, stealing out or
looking your shoulder, pointing at your name. I had to say it.
Yeah.
I had to say it. I was like, I didn't see you do it on that one.
The last touchdown I really worked for, I guess I worked for one in Detroit a couple of years ago, but all I had to do was run past Dante. And he was pretty easy to get past. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking when the ball's in the air, man. Just secure it. You know, I got as much right to that ball as that receiver. So just find a way to get your hands on it and bring it in.
I brought this up actually in the pregame. I was talking to TJ and Dave. We do a segment called Take It to the House.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Rondé's always talked about, and Dave, of course, concurred. He said, I said that most football games come down, and you told me in year one of us doing a show together, mm-hmm. you said most games come down about six plays.
And
the rest is all a push.
Yeah, it really is.
That's the game changer we needed. That was the game changer.
Yeah, most games are five or six game-changing type plays. You can go back to them and say, well, if we wouldn't, and you hear people say this all the time, God, if we wouldn't have just given up that play and that play and that play, we would have been all right. And generally, that's the case. You take away two or three long runs or an interception or something, which seems just one of 60 plays, but that usually is the difference. And for us on Sunday, mine was big, man. It definitely a momentum changer, and you hate to talk about momentum because it is a game, and there's 60 minutes and there's 30 minutes left after halftime. But momentum is a big thing in our game.
Let's get to another caller before we go to break. Tim, you're on Total Access with Rondé Barber. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. Rondé, how you doing today?
I'm good, Tim. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. A couple things. Just absolutely love watching you play the game. I remember when you returned to the interception in the championship game against the Eagles. I was jumping up and down so much, I jacked up my ankle.
See, that's when I had another gear, Tim. I still had another gear back in 2002.
Well, hey, it was awesome watching you. I remember my first game was the game against the 49ers where Jerry Rice and Steve Young both got hurt. I was in the stadium, and I've been a diehard ever since.
I like it.
What do you think the defense is compared to, say, the 2002? Super Bowl team. I mean, what similarities or differences are there?
Well, that team, and I've said this a lot this season. I compare a lot of personnel and talent on this team to that team, but that 2002 team was a bunch of guys that came together in from 96, 97, 98, 99. You know, your Al Singletons and your Shelton Quarles and me and Brian Kelly. Dexter Jackson, we'd all been there for like 4 or 5 years. Obviously, John Lynch and Warren and Derek, those guys go without saying. Simeon had actually been there for 2 years by then. We had come together as a unit. We were cohesive. We understood each other. We knew how to play the defense. There was no questions at all in 2002. I mean, we were, if you ask me now, and it's easy to say this in hindsight, we were destined to be that successful because of how good that group was. And I compare this team to that simply because we're building a foundation of that. You know, we're getting those guys now, like the Owls. You know, we got Quincy Black, you know, like Shelton. You got Barrett Rude, you know, like me and BK. You got Akib, and you got T-Jack. And obviously you got Gerald and Styles and some of our rushmen up front. You know, they're all young and they're all coming together. You know, we're if you want to make a comparison to us in 98 or 99, beginning of 99. That's what this team feels like to me. And we can still be successful. There's no reason we shouldn't be successful with these young guys, but you know, we're not at 2002 level yet. That was a bunch of experienced, hungry guys, all about 25, 26 years old, that were hungry and wanted to win right then. We're young. We need to learn how to win. You know, getting a win on Sunday was great for us, but we're still a young team that needs to learn how to win. And, hopefully going forward, we'll figure it out quickly.
Last night, Gerald McCoy used the word finish when he was describing some of the things, and I said, man, that Rondé always says that. Young teams have to learn how to finish. And, you know, we saw good signs of that. You know, we saw, you know, the third quarter was better than the second half, and the fourth quarter was better than the third quarter.
Yep.
And the conditioning, like you said early in the program tonight, we were there and they weren't, and they were running in concrete shoes. So that, like you said, learning on the go almost, mm-hmm. like improving in a game, but inside of one game and learning and saying that was just – I think that's what's leading to the excitement, because I think we're all seeing young athletes and young guys that are flying to the football, and we're starting to see the makings of another great defense.
Yeah, absolutely. It starts with coaching, man. We have great coaches in our building right now. Guys that get it, guys that know how to coach, you know, our style of, you know, what we like to call our style of football, with Jimmy Lake and obviously Raheem's the D coordinator, and Joe Baker, who's new to our system. He's only been here for 2 years, but I think he's really bought into it. And Todd Wash, our D-line coach, you know, it all starts with that guy. You know, it all starts with the guys up front. I think they understand that if you can coach the X's and O's of these guys, let them make it easy for them, and just let them go out and let their natural talent and ability and their will, force itself on your opponent, you're going to be successful. That's why we were successful back in the early part, late 90s and early part of this decade, is because of that attitude. And we're getting back to that.
We got a couple of minutes left in our next segment. We got to talk about hopefully victory number two as mm-hmm. we take on another team that's going through a youth movement, as a matter of fact, the Carolina Panthers. We'll come back and talk about them in a couple of minutes. That's Rondé Barber. I'm Scott Ledger. It is Buccaneers Total Access for your Wednesday night. Don't forget, we premiere the Josh Freeman Show tomorrow night. And Friday night, back on Total Access, we'll have Michael Spurlock, who's really starting to emerge as a wide receiver on this football team. So we got you covered all week long right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Bucs coming off their first victory, I should say, against the Cleveland Browns and taking on the Carolina Panthers. This is a rivalry that's – the faces are starting to change a little as the time and the coaches and the players, but there's still a rivalry. And, you know, starting with young quarterback Matt Moore, who actually got knocked out against the Giants. During a conference call with him earlier today, I actually spoke with him. He seems to think he'll be playing. John Fox also, well, John Fox didn't tip his hand, but you guys might be facing, if you don't face him, you're looking at Jimmy Clausen. But either way, you're looking at a young quarterback.
Yeah, young quarterback. And we saw Matt Moore last year. Obviously, you get a rookie in there, Jimmy Clausen, I think we pin our ears back and get after it mm-hmm. when they try to pass the ball. But I think with either quarterback, man, they're going to try to get their running game, man. The history of this series, and we do a lot of history of this series.
I was hoping you wouldn't mention their running game.
You got to.
D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. Yeah.
You have to. I mean, they, and to be honest with you, last week, they only had, I think, around 90 yards rushing, which is, you know, well below what those guys are used to. I mean, this is a team that's built on a running of football. I think they got down in that game a little bit early in the second half and kind of abandoned the run and tried to pass it. And, the young quarterbacks, man, really – are benefited with the talent around them. And Matt Moore, fortunate for him, unfortunately for everybody else in the league, has probably one of the best receivers in the league and Steve Smith that we have to deal with. Even if he does play or if Jimmy Clausen plays, you know, you still have that worry about that threat. of Steve Smith. But, you know, in my mind, they're going to try to come in here and run the football, or we're going to go there and they're going to try to run the football against us. That's what they've had success with over the past. You know, it seems like you watch film of these guys, and it seems like they only run stuff against us. You know, they save stuff to run specifically against us. And they've had some success with it over the past 3 or 4 years, man, maybe even 5 years. It's been a while that they've had a dominant running game. And that's our charge this week. You know, nothing goes forward on our defense unless we stop the run.
And you set them up in third and long, and that's when this defense can really the new pass rushing schemes and using those athletic guys like we saw in the first game. It's going to be great to see. They've actually got some young wideouts. They're actually a younger football team than the Bucs are.
Than us, yeah.
They're actually the youngest team in the NFL.
Youngest. We're the second youngest, right? Yes. I think that's how it works. Yes. How it worked, yeah.
But they went out and they got a wide receiver, Amani Edwards.
Yep, Amani Edwards.
But they also got he played quarterback in college. They're kind of converting him. So you're also looking, once you get past Steve Smith, you're looking at some young wideouts,
well,
too.
Dale Jarrett and LaFell. LSU.
Yeah, Brandon LaFell. Yep.
Those, you know, they got a great tight end in Rosario and King out of Virginia Tech. But they, you know, they have some weapons, man. It's not the Steve Smith, the Musa Muhammad show that it's been for all those other years. They got young guys. They kind of feel like us. They're a team in transition with a lot of their position, and wide receiver is one of those. But, you know, it's good to have a key back this week. You know, this is definitely a week we're going to need him. He's going to have a tough charge dealing with Steve Smith all week, but all Sunday. But you know, that's why he is who he is, man. You know, you got two of the best players in our division, and Steve and Akib knocking heads. That's going to be fun thing to watch.
Well, in your words, go get after it, okay?
Absolutely, man.
Always a pleasure.
Yep, likewise, man. Hopefully, I'll see you again sometime or talk to you again.
Yeah,
sometime
I was going to say we'll get you in here a couple times this year, right?
I'm sure.
I'll hold you to that.
Jeff Ryan usually finagles me into doing this.
All right, bro. All right, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you.
Yep, see ya.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access. Don't forget, tomorrow night we premiere the Josh Freeman Show. At 6 o'clock, same time. We'll talk to you then. I'm Scott Ledger. Have a great night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.